Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I wish I had more patience. It just seems to always be in such short supply. But patience isn't something our world is used to at this point. It's not something that our world is very good at. Especially if we think about everything that we have in our modern, fast-paced, instant gratification kind of world. You know, years ago, if you were to order something from a company, you'd have to wait weeks on end before your package came in the mail. Now? Well, now we have Amazon Prime. Two-day shipping. Sometimes even one-day shipping. I ordered something at the beginning of this week, came from Texas, took 2 days for it to get from Texas to central Illinois. That is amazing. And while it's not exactly instant, it's about as close as you can get. People used to have to write letters, you know, like take out a pen and a piece of paper, and you actually had to use your hand, which took a long time, to write out the letter. And then you had to fold it up, put it in an envelope, address it, and send it off to somebody, and then wait for who knows how long until you got a reply. But that's not a thing anymore. Now, with lightning-fast fingers, we can send an email, or even faster, sending a text message. And all of a sudden, I can communicate with anybody across the world, even if they're over in China or somewhere that is just on the opposite side, I can communicate with them in an instant. Everything is so fast. Life is so fast. And the truth is that it doesn't require a whole lot of patience to do a lot of things that used to require a lot of patience. We're just not taught patience the way we used to be. Which is why it becomes very, very difficult in moments in our own lives where we have to have patience. Because there are things in this life, difficult things that we have to endure, that there is no other way around it. You just have to be patient. Which brings us today to Exodus 3. We see how God works, and it's in His own time, and it's in His own way. We heard these words. The Lord said to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, before we can dig any deeper, we have to know the context, right? We're starting in Exodus 3. So what happened in Exodus 1 and Exodus 2? What affliction are God's people having to endure? Well, many of you know the story pretty well. It's Pharaoh. The Israelites, who had been living in the land of Egypt, well, God prospered them. They were multiplying. They were becoming a great nation. And Pharaoh gets a little bit nervous. What if they get too great? What if they start to attack? What if they start to take over my land in Egypt? And Pharaoh didn't like that, so he said, all right, first what we're going to do is we're going to make them our slaves. And so he forced them into labor, and so they had to work. But even under this yoke of slavery, God continued to prosper them, continued to bless them, continued to multiply them. And so then Pharaoh got even more nervous. Well, even under slavery, they're still doing better off than the Egyptian families. What can I do? Every male infant born to the people of Israel is going to be thrown into the Nile River. Population control, right? Well, Moses himself was supposed to be thrown into that river. But instead, because of his mother's love and because of a basket that would float on top of that very means that Pharaoh used for destruction, Moses floats down the Nile River to Pharaoh's daughter. Gets welcomed into Pharaoh's own household. But how do we get to Horeb? How do we get to this mountain? How do we get to this sheep thing? Well, when Moses is 40 years old, so he's literally lived in Pharaoh's house for 40 years, and then he sees an Israelite who is being beaten by an Egyptian, and Moses gets a little upset about it. And so he runs over and he kills this Egyptian, and Pharaoh finds out. And so he has to run for his life. And then fast forward another 40 years, and now we have this burning bush event. 40 years in Pharaoh's house, 40 years as a shepherd, and now we get this fire. And in through this fire, we get wonderful news, right? God has heard the cry of his people, and he's going to do something about it. And what we like to do with all of Scripture is then we project it onto our own lives. So we know how this works, right? I'm going through something bad. God, please save me. And God hears, and then all of a sudden, I get help. Perfect. Except nowhere in this little problem that we have here did it say immediately. Or did it say when I wanted? God is working on his own time. God is operating in all the ways that he knows is best because God has perfect timing. As we read the scriptures, one of our challenges, right, is that we can read the birth of Moses at the beginning of Exodus 2. And by the time we make it to the end of Exodus 2, Moses is 80 years old. The Holy Spirit literally transports us through 80 years of time in a matter of about 5 minutes of reading Scripture. And as we want to project the Scriptures onto our own life, it makes it seem like our prayers are going to be heard and answered and we're going to be delivered immediately. But that's not the way God works. 80 years of the Israelites being persecuted under Egypt's tyranny. 80 years of affliction, 80 years of oppression. How many people had cried out to God during that 80 years? How many people lived and died within that 80 years? I mean, the Psalms tell us that if we have great strength in life, that we'll live 80 years old. You got to wait 80 years for salvation, for deliverance? I mean, God could have chose any way he wanted. He could have chose to strike Pharaoh with a lightning bolt and then simultaneously have all of the slave masters have a heart attack. And they would have been free. But God doesn't do that. He could have just picked up his people and poof, just magically transported them to the land of Canaan and the Hittites and the Perizzites and Jebusites and etc., etc. But he doesn't do that either. Instead, what does God do? He chooses patience. He chooses suffering. He chooses an 80-year-old man, a burning bush, 10 plagues, the crossing of the Red Sea, and eventually a very long journey on foot. In our world of instant gratification, when everything is fast-paced, when we're not taught patience a whole lot, it's really hard for us to be patient with God. It's very hard. Especially when we feel like the people of Israel, that we've been crying out, that we're afflicted, that we're being oppressed. God, save me. Where are you? Are you still listening? Are you still up there? Do you still care? It's in times like that when we need to remember who God is in Exodus 3. He's a God of patience. He's a God who works in his own way and in his own time. But he doesn't leave you without certainty. He doesn't leave you without what you need to endure in patience. What did he tell Moses? When Moses is struck with doubt, you're going to pick me? I have to go back and do this thing with Pharaoh? What does he say? I'm going to give you a sign. The sign will be that you will worship with me and all the company of Israel on this mountain. And then you will know that I've been guiding you, that I've been listening, that I've been caring for my people this entire time. And Moses did. Through the long journey, he goes back to Mount Horeb. Only the second time he goes there, it's called by another mountain, Mount Sinai. That's where Moses got the Ten Commandments. That's where God made a covenant and a promise with his people. It was on the same mountain as the burning bush event. And the truth is that God doesn't leave you without a sign. You want to know that God is listening to you in the midst of your suffering? You want to know that he still cares, even if you have to patiently endure some sort of affliction or oppression in this world? Do you want to know for certain? He gives you his Son. He gives you Jesus Christ. We wear the sign of our salvation around our necks. It's the cross. It's that Jesus became a human being so that he could suffer alongside us. He didn't experience anything that we don't experience. He knows exactly what suffering's like. He felt the sting of death. He saw the sickness of people. He saw people who were oppressed by demons. And what does he do? But he has compassion. He pours out his mercy. He gives forgiveness. And he still gives it to you. Because we not only have the sign of the cross, we not only have an event that happened 2,000 years ago, but we have events that are happening right now. We have the events, the sign of baptism, where God chooses you as his own person and promises that he will never leave you, he will never forsake you, that he will be with you now and into all eternity. We have the supper on the altar this morning. Jesus is physically and truly going to be in your mouth through his body and blood. What more sign do you need? God comes to you in your suffering. You don't have to go and find him. He's told you exactly where he is. He's here to forgive you, to care for you, to sustain you and strengthen you in the midst of all of the issues in this life. Because the truth is that we might not be tyrannized by Pharaoh. We might not be tyrannized by Egypt or slavery. But we live under the tyranny of sin. That's the cause of all suffering. That's the cause of death. That's the cause of all of our problems in the world. But God gives us the sign. He gives us his Son. And the best part about Jesus' death is that he doesn't stay dead. Jesus conquers death in the resurrection. He conquers death through the sign of an empty tomb so that you can know about his victory. So that you can know, even if you have to suffer for 80 years, that God is going to conquer all of the oppression of this world. My friends, patience is very, very difficult. It's hard for me. I'm certain it's hard for you. And those times in life that come up and we need to exercise patience, it won't be easy. So my encouragement is to do like the Israelites did. To remain consistent in prayers, even if that means you have to be patient for 80 years. Do like Moses did. Trust that the Lord will be with you. And know the sign of your salvation and the sign of your deliverance. Because it's Jesus Christ crucified and risen for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your patience in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.